It's important for us as individuals and as a body of believers going forward that we see and know the power of God working in our lives.
Yes.
It's so important. Without God in our lives, we are lost.
We are. Yes.
Without Jesus in my life, I don't know where I'd have been. And that's an absolute truth.
Yes.
We don't know where we would have ended up.
No.
Don't know what situation, circumstance we would have been in. This week I've been clearing out the filing cabinet. You know, you get files and files and paperwork. And I got hold of some Teen Challenge paperwork. And I looked at the many names of young men that initially said they wanted to go into rehab. And there was quite a number of them. I think it was at least 10 that I'd got filed away. And out of this 10, only one of them went. He succeeded.
Amen.
He's a minister. I'm not talking about Daniel now, because Daniel wasn't in my paperwork.
No.
And so I look back at that time that we were involved in Teen Challenge in Doncaster, and still are, although things are locked down because of circumstances and situation, that we have Daniel. We have a young man called Stephen,
yeah,
gone into the ministry.
Amen.
Life's changed,
yeah,
because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of them asking Jesus into their hearts and into their lives.
Yeah.
And the thing that God has done for those is that God has created in them a clean heart. He's,
yeah,
given them a new heart,
yeah,
a new desire. That's what God does for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So I want to speak from Psalm 51. I'll endeavour, for the sake of the those on Zoom, not to move about too much.
I
probably have to have nails through my feet or something to stop me moving, or lead weights around my ankles, and just restrict my movements a little bit. But anyway, but I bring you greetings also from Rwanda. A pastor was on Messenger with me just yesterday, talking about the potential of going back to Rwanda. We were chatting with Romania over the Christmas period. Cuba has been talking to us and sent their greetings and their loves, and they all send their love to us and thank us for the support that we have done over the last 12 months for them in their lives and for the church. And again, invites to go. So praise God that we're believing that the doors will continue to open and that God will make a way where there is no way, and we're trusting Him to do great and mighty things. Amen. So praise God. So Psalm 51, and in some of your Bibles there might be a title on top of it. And the title might be, "Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God." Wow. What a comment. What a statement to make. Create. This is David. King David. Who knew God in such a wonderful way. He in himself was not just a king, but he was a prophet. And he even saw the coming of the Lord Jesus. He saw who Jesus really was. King David did not really live under Old Testament covenant relationships. He actually was living under the New Testament, New Covenant relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet that had not happened. But yet he spiritually was living in that dimension. And I find that absolutely amazing, that David is living not in the now, but he's actually even living in the very future of what is to come. He's seen it. And he's even experiencing, he sat in the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back. He broke all the rules, believe it or not, that were made in the Old Testament for the high priests, etc. It says David sat virtually on the mercy seat. And he was still alive. And David, God says of David, he is a man after my own heart. He wasn't perfect, we know that. And we shall find out as we read through this Psalm 51. And it starts with this: Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. He knows he's a sinner. He admits it. And here he is in that last part of that statement, asking God, blot out my transgressions. Remove them, in other words. Take them away. Erase them. You know, we all struggle at times, don't we, with our thinking. We still remember our transgressions, don't we? We still remember our mistakes. And the devil constantly seeks to remind you of your failures. Have you ever had that experience? Usually comes at night time, maybe when you can't sleep too well, and you're tossing and turning and you're wondering why, and there that voice, what seems to be an inner voice, is whispering all your failures, all your mistakes, and so it goes on. We have to use the word of God against it, and we have to remind ourselves that we are forgiven. Amen. That God has blotted out all of our transgressions. And you know, daily is blotting them out. Do you believe that? You know, daily we make mistakes, and yet God daily blots out. As we repent and constantly stay focused on God, when you see we are a two-part being, or a three-part being in one sense. We're spirit, we're soul, we're body, and the soulish man is where the devil attacks. He tries to get you up and to stand against that spiritual man that is made perfect in Christ Jesus and through the blood and the sacrifice of Him. And so we face battles daily in our lives. And he goes on to say in verse 2, Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I have known my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Do you ever feel like that? Your sins are ever before you. The devil's there constantly reiterating them, repeating them, just trying to batter you down. Let me remind you, you have the victory through the blood. You have the victory through the death and resurrection of Jesus in your life. And so we need to stand on the promises of God. You know, David wrote this psalm just after the sin, the incident in his life with Bathsheba. Some may not know who Bathsheba was. Well, she became his wife in the end. But she was the wife of another man. And David saw Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, it says this, that Bathsheba, she was actually on the rooftop and she was bathing. She was in full view of the palace. And she was bathing. In other words, she was naked. And the verse says here, and it came to pass at eventide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You know, the eye gate is a dangerous gate. Many things come in through the eye gate. That is why, the world uses video advertising all the time. Mind you, I must admit these days, some of the advertising I see on TV, I look at it and I say to Grace, what are they advertising? I haven't got a clue. At times the adverts run so fast into one another that you blink and you look again at the TV and you think, are we on a different advert now? Well, it's so bang, 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 so fast. And I look at it and think, I don't have a clue what they're advertising. There was one the other night. I have no idea what they were advertising. So guess what? They spent, and it was a long advert. And I said to Grace, well, they spent a lot of money on that one, but it's an absolute waste on me. It just straight over the top. You see, they know visual impact, the eye gate. And the devil uses the eye gate all the time. If you remember in the garden, he said to Eve, he said, look, it is good to eat. And we need to guard the gates of our own lives when the enemy seeks to come in against us, when he seeks to attack us. And David, you see, was on this rooftop and he saw this beautiful woman. Her husband was away at war on behalf of David. And David was kicking his heels a bit. He was bored, I suppose, as Grace says. He was bored and he was on the rooftop. And in verse 4 of chapter 51 it says, against thee, and thee only have I sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight. So thou art justified when you speak, and blameless when you act out justice. Wow. David realizes that what he has done under the law, he should be stoned. He should be stoned. And yet he's appealing to God and to the mercy of God. These laws, by the way, were given to Moses by God. So David knows he's broken the laws of God, and yet he's appealing to God for mercy. Because as I said earlier, David is living in the day of grace. He's living under a new covenant relationship. He has such a relationship with the Father. And you and I need to constantly develop our relationship with God. God wants to know you more, and you need to know Him more. He wants you to know Him. And in verse 5 he says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Every one of us, when we were born in sin. Every one of us was born a sinner. You know, children, you don't have to teach them to do the wrong things. They just seem to gravitate to doing what's not right. Yeah? You always have to instruct a child what is the right thing to do. Yes? Because the nature is wicked. The nature is a fallen nature. It is not the original nature that God created man with. And so when Jesus comes into our lives, there's a new nature. There's a new relationship. And so we're having to deal with the old man. We're having to change our habits. I've spoken before about habits when you do things automatically without thinking. Just recently I was talking with somebody and I remembered how An old habit came back to me after something like 30 odd years. And that was when I had my first motorcycle. The gear change was on the opposite side. Do you remember that, Steve? Oh, you're not that old. All right, must have just been me. Yeah, right. Yeah. And the gear lever was on the other side. And, of course, it's your foot, you see. And I bought this. And a number of years later, 30-odd years later, I bought another motorbike. And it was a newer model. And they changed the gear lever over. And most of the time I was able to manage to remember, but one day I didn't. And I wasn't going fast, believe it or not, but I was coming to a tight 90-degree corner and decided that I needed to just thin a little bit of speed off the motorcycle, so I decided just to gently touch the rear brake. No. I just gently tapped the gear lever and I knocked the bike into what is termed false neutral. I dropped it in between two gears. And for those of you that know anything about motorbikes, it does not really go around corners well when you are not in a gear. And I tried to take this hairpin, a 90 degree bend in neutral. It was an absolute disaster. There was a 4-foot banking. I went up the 4-foot banking into the hedge. I hung on to this motorcycle as hard as I could. It then pitched me over the very top of the motorcycle and I landed on my back and the bike laid over on its side, sitting there going, boom, 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 you know. And I'm like, oh man, that hurt. And I came to lift my visor up and discovered that I couldn't really move my left arm. My shoulder was in absolute agony. I'd semi-dislocated my shoulder at the time. And then suddenly I hear voices around me. My helmet steamed up so I can't see anything. So I finally lift up my visor and ask them, pick my bike up please. And say, are you okay? And I'm saying, yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm in agony. I stood up, and I tell you, the blood began to drain from me. I could feel it going. And I stood there, and I literally just got hold of myself, and I forced my shoulder back into place, and sort of went, oh. I made it home. I was 10 minutes away from home, that's all I was. I went out for a ride just for 10 minutes. I got home. Again, I did a thing that I should never do. I went out with trainers. My trainers were split, the sole was torn away. I'd got a graze from my ankle, up the front of my leg, up my back of the leg, right up to my backside. And I'm like, how did that happen? You know, I have a sore shoulder, there's a dint in the motorbike, the fairing's broken, and I'm looking at it thinking, you made a right mess of that, didn't you? And that was just one small error. That was a habit that came back from the 1970. It was as long as that. And that habit had never been used. But suddenly one day, in something like 2003, it popped up again. You see, how did that happen? I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, it happened again. Not as bad. So then I made a decision. I needed to deal with this habit. So what did I do? I went on a training course to train a new habit to become stronger than the old habit, to try and destroy the old habit that I had. So I went on an advanced motorcycle course and began to learn new habits, new ways. And same principle, the same thing applies to you and I with the Word of God. We need to learn new habits. We need to learn new things. And so this year needs to be a year for each and every one of us, and I include myself, that we begin to learn new things in God, that we begin to practice new things from the Word of God. We begin to practice new things from the Spirit of God. And that we begin to change in a different way. That we begin to be beings that are supernatural beings. Because that is what God has created us to be. Supernatural beings in Christ Jesus. Not just a natural person. You are far more than that because God placed His Spirit in you. And God is Spirit. And so you and I have to come to that place where the Spirit of God begins to move in our lives in such a powerful way that we've never experienced before. And that is not something to be afraid of. That is something to rejoice in. Some people get afraid when the Spirit of God begins to move. I've seen it. I've seen church leaders become afraid when the Spirit of God begins to move. They freeze. What do I do next? Be still and know that He is God. And just remember, you're not in charge, He's in charge. When the Spirit of God begins to move, He will do things that are a mystery in front of our eyes. He will do miracles in front of our eyes. We can't control them. We can't direct them. We can't even direct the healings, because it all comes from God. We are just the conduit, the wires, the connection to the power of the Spirit of God that moves over the face of the earth and over people's lives, healing, touching, changing, filling, saving, filling them with His power. Because that's what He intends to do. Fill us with His power. And so we're conceived in sin. In verse 6 says, "Behold, thou that you desire truth in the innermost being and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." We can't clean ourselves. We've tried. Most of us have tried and failed. You talk to an alcoholic or a drug addict, they would tell you that they tried so many times to beat the habit. And for a while, they tie it up. For a while, they imprison it. Then suddenly it breaks out again. Because they've never been totally clean. Because it needs the power of the Spirit of God to clean us. It is the power of the blood of Jesus that is needed to wash us and to clean us. It is the power of the Word of God that we need that cleans us and washes us. It is the Word of God that creates new habits. It's the Word of God that cleanses us. It's the Word of God that empowers us. It's the Word of God that sets us free. It's the Word of God that brings deliverance. It's the Word of God, Jesus. "I have come that you might have life and have it with an abundance." It is the Word of God. And you cannot go on a diet from the Word of God. The moment that you do that, you will begin to become weak. You will begin to be a target for the enemy. Some people might go to church once a week and think that's enough. "I read the Bible when I went to church. That's enough for me." No. Daily partaking of Christ. Daily partaking of this Word that we might know the power. You know, the apostles encouraged the people, get together, fellowship. Because in fellowshipping you enhance each other, there becomes a stronger anointing. The more that come together with one desire, one purpose, one heart, we see it in Acts. Which says when the disciples were in one accord. In one accord. One desire. One focus. Tarrying, waiting for the power. And when they were together in one accord, then the Holy Spirit came. And 3,000. 3,000 were added to the church that day. Church, come on. We need to come together in one accord. We need to stand on the promises of God. It's okay having Zoom and internet. I understand it at this point in time. For some people, they're unable because of restrictions, because of age and health, unable to gather. But I would encourage any one of you who can come, come. Because there is power together. There is a corporate anointing. Each and every one of you carry an anointing. How do I know that? The word Christ means anointed one. That's all it means. Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus the anointed one. And today Christ should be living in each and every one of us. And if Christ lives in you, then it is Andrew the anointed one. Steve the anointed one. Ava the anointed one. Bev, the anointed one. That's who you are. That's who you should be. That is what should be happening in your life. And that when we come together, that corporate anointing moves and there will be signs, wonders and miracles. In Wales, in the 30s, I believe it was, they were having meetings in villages and there were literally fire were on top of the church roof. The fire brigade came out to put out the fire because they thought the church was burning. No, it wasn't. The church, there wasn't a lick of anything burnt in the church, but there was a fire on top of the church. In one church, where the front of the church was, where we have it says there, God is love. There was a meeting where all of a sudden the face of a lamb appeared on the wall. And it was there for days. How do those things happen? Well, guess what? They didn't have overhead projectors in those days. They didn't have a camera that would project an image onto the wall. See, God got there first. You know, we see this technology and think, oh, it's new. No, it's not. God's always had it in a different form and shape. And so there was this image of a lamb that was slain. And people started coming to the church and were just weeping and came and gave their lives to Christ. Do you know why? Because people were praying beforehand. The people came together with a corporate anointing and began to pray, began to repent, began to turn. And when that happened, God began to move. I don't care what virus is around. Whatever name it has to bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus. The Christ, the Anointed One, who lives and resides in each and every one of us. And so we need to rest in that promise and the promises of God. As David says in verse 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses us. It washes us. It removes all sin and all stain from sin. It's the process of removing those bad habits. It's a process of bringing change into our lives. In Psalm 103, and verse 12, it says there, Psalm 103 and verse 12 it says, God has removed as far as from the east and from the west is, so far as God removed our transgressions from us. He's removed them. So when the devil brings it and says, oh, I found these, I think these belong to you, Ava. And begins to say, look, these are yours, I found them somewhere where you've been fishing. You're not allowed to fish. Anyway, that Ava, that Andrew, that Bev is dead. So you're fishing in a stinking pond. That's only where the dead things are. That person is no longer alive. The word says we're a new creation. A brand new person in Christ Jesus, a new creation. And so God, here David is asking God to cleanse him. Knowing that when God does it, he does it right. Knowing that when God does it, it's effective in his life. And verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. His bones weren't broken, were they? But the guilt of sin made him feel like a broken man. The sin that he had committed made him feel in such a state that he was about collapsing under the guilt of that sin. And God had set him free. I love that verse 10 where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew. God's into renewing. David was already moving forward with God. David was a man who heard the voice of God. And David is crying out to the Lord saying, Lord, create a new heart. Renew a right spirit in me. God will do it for each and every one of us. Don't let your failures hold you back from your future successes that God has for you. Don't keep looking back. I was, again, just a few days ago, laughing and talking with somebody about the fact that so often we're looking forward and we're walking, and you've probably seen it, you've either seen a sketch on TV or something of that nature where somebody's walking down the pavement and suddenly somebody calls out their name, they look back and continue walking forward. And the next thing you know, they walk into a lamppost or something and end up with a great big bruise on their head, you know, because they didn't look where they were going. I remember, this is just reminding me now, I remember where we live, there's a green area, and they planted some trees in this green area because they didn't want us to play games there. And we had some friends bring their children, and we got one of these frisbee things. And it was one Sunday, and we'd had lunch, and we were just getting ready to come to church, actually. And the kids wanted to run a bit of energy off, so we took them out and threw the frisbee around. And I went running for this frisbee. And I dove at this frisbee. It was in the air, and I leapt in the air for this frisbee. And all of a sudden, I met a tree. The thing was, this tree did not move. I hit it with my forehead. Well, you see the cartoons where, you know, it shows you the stars. Well, I know where they got it from. Because I saw stars. And literally, I hit this tree and literally went, came straight down. Hit the ground, I'm like, oh, I feel sick. You know, it was such an impact. You know, because, I mean, I was going through the air. You know, I was flying. boom, and I just hit it, and then I came sliding down. They said, "Are you all right?" Of course, being brave, I said, "Oh yes, I am." I thought, I got home, and I've got to come to church. I've got a hag on here. Oh, I looked great that day. You know, it's like, oh, man. But we have to keep looking in this right direction. We have to be aware of what is going on. We have to be aware of what the devil seeks to do against us. And we have to move forward. Verse 11 says, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. What's he saying there? See, this shows you where he's living. He's living in the New Testament age. He's living under a new covenant relationship. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. When you look at Scripture and you look back at Scripture, you find where references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament are usually the Holy Spirit was given just to lead us in the Old Testament. Moses. The Spirit of God was upon Moses when he went to face Pharaoh and do the miracles. And then when Joshua took command, the Holy Spirit came upon Joshua to equip him, to minister to him, to guide him, to help him. Also with Moses, there were 70 men, 70 elders, on which there was a portion of that same Spirit that was laid upon them. It's like the church today. That Spirit should be in the church, laid upon us to guide us, to direct us, to instruct us, and that power. And then we find it was on the prophets. And so in the Old Testament, it was the prophets and it was the king where the Holy Spirit was given. And we find that as we see this, that God, when Saul, King Saul, when he was about to be made king, well, God was calling him into that position. He didn't know that at the time. He was still looking for donkeys, weren't he? And God spoke to him, and in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Wow. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we should be being turned into another man. Well, it just reminds me that. I remember when I was 18, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a church in Maltby. I left there on my motorcycle, speaking in tongues. And again, there is this tight left-hand bend going back towards Doncaster, just outside of Maltby. Dips down, banks the wrong way. How on earth I got round that corner, the speed I was doing, I have no idea, because I was just lost in praising God and speaking in tongues. I was just lit. I was on fire. I still ride that corner, think, I don't know how I managed to get round there, because I know I was going quick. I had no concept of speed, because I was somewhere else. Spiritually, I was in a different realm. And I remember that after that time, I began to change as an individual. Instead of being shy, quiet, reserved, I suddenly started to become bold. I suddenly started to become confident. I thought, it wasn't me. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And that is for each and every one of us. You see, the Spirit of God will bring boldness into your life, bring confidence into your life when you feel totally inadequate. Are we able to heal people? No, but Jesus is. How? Through the Spirit of God working through each and every one of us. Praise His wonderful name. The Spirit of God, that anointing of God, has a transforming power for each and every one of us. It transforms as it transforms your thinking. It transforms the way you act. It transforms the way you do things. And that Spirit of God, through Christ Jesus and the shedding of His blood, has come to set us free. Has come to break every bondage. Has come to give us life to an abundance. Has come to empower us. Has come to equip us. The Word says He will teach us. And so God has things for us to do in the future, but He needs to equip us, and we need to be being filled daily with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not occasionally drinking. Drink daily of the Word. Drink daily of the Spirit of God. Speak in tongues regularly. Worship God with your tongue. And magnify His name. Verse 12, He says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Restore to me the joy. When you get saved, there was a joy. Do you remember that day when you gave your life to Christ? Do you remember what happened? You suddenly felt light. The burden had gone. Something had been lifted off you. You were joyful. You were happy. You didn't know why, and you didn't care. You just knew. You had an encounter. You had an encounter with the living God. You'd had an encounter with Jesus, and He'd taken away all your guilt. He'd taken away all your shame. He'd taken it all away, and He set you free. He said, "I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly." And Jesus came for each and every one of us to set us free, to give us life. What a wonderful place. Don't lose that joy. And if you've lost it, well, go back to the Word. Go back to talking to Jesus. Go back to speaking in tongues, and that joy will return. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you want to feel strong, if you're feeling weak, then begin to find that joy. Because it is that joy that makes you strong. God wants you to know His presence and His power in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 says this: "The eternal God is your dwelling place." The eternal God is your dwelling place. Hallelujah. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. What a joy to know that when we rest in the presence of God, that no matter what is going on underneath and round about us, are the everlasting arms of God. And when this happens in David's life, he says in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to you." With a part to play. With a part to play. We have to teach. We have to teach. And when we teach, it says, the promise is, and sinners will be converted to God. Hallelujah. God wants you and I to be involved. God never had a plan that cut you out. God in the beginning created the earth and created Adam and Eve with a plan and a purpose to be involved. The plan has not changed. There's been a few detours. There's been a few crashes, there's been a few mistakes, there's been a few bad habits that have come in that have knocked us off course. But guess what? Jesus has set us a new course. God's GPS is there for each and every one of us to follow. The Word of God. This is our map, the Bible. This is the map. This is the route that we take. These are the promises of God. These promises are true. He's never failed on each and any one of us. Now, God wants to restore. That is His plan. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of rebuilding the nation. God is a God of rebuilding people's lives. God is a God of to give people a right attitude towards Himself and towards His Word. God wants people to know Him, whom to know His life eternal. God's looking for a genuine repentance from the nations. We've turned God out. We've denied Him. We've told Him to leave us alone. We don't need Him. We've got science. We can do it ourselves. We can't. We as a nation, just these last few days, have become independent of the European financial market, and we didn't join it on those terms, but they changed the rules. They tricked us. That's what Satan does, you see. He tricks you. And people might think, and the doomsayers will say that, well, it's going to be a disaster for us. If God has His hand upon this nation, if this nation repents, then God will bless the ground, God will bless the nation, and God will turn things around. If you can read it in Scripture, every time the children of Israel turned from their wicked ways and repented and turned back to God, the famine went, the drought went, there was an abundance in the nation, and they were a blessed nation. And so I tell you this, that if we as individuals turn our hearts and our lives back to God, God will begin to outpour blessing upon us. It is a principle, it is a law, a supernatural law that God has established for the nations. That is true. It will not change. I know on TV there's been a lot about World War II. And we've watched some of the programs and looked at the state of this island as it was during World War II. If they'd have only known, they literally could have just turned up with a few gunboats and walked in and would have taken this island over. We had nothing to defend with. We'd sent it all across the water. We had nothing. But God was on our side. He blinded the eyes of the enemy. He confused them. This mighty war machine. This small island. It's been a niggle to Europe for a long time. I believe that this nation is set to take the Word of God back into the world again. I believe that. I've been saying that for years. That we need to break free that our independence, that we can take the Word of God freely and press in the Word of God and see salvation and see nations turning back to God. Europe now is a godless state. It needs revival. It needs salvation. It needs evangelists. It needs missions. And, you know, we can do this together in Jesus' name. They'll not keep us out. They can't keep God out. And God is going to save nation upon nation upon nation. And so there's a call to each and every one of us. But we need to, Lord, create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord. And then we can say, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. If I'm not ready, Lord, then make me ready. Make me ready, Lord. Make me ready. Because I want to do as we said last week, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And that's how I feel. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be about my Father's business. Saving souls, leading people to Jesus, seeing signs, wonders and miracles, because that is the calling of the church today. That is the appointment of the church today. Signs, wonders and miracles. And each and every one of us, you are part of the church. You are the church. That is what God is calling you to. He's not calling you to fill seats. He's calling you to get up and to preach. He's calling you to get up and teach. He's calling you to be empowered by the Spirit of God, with a clean heart and a flow of the Holy Spirit going through you that impacts lives around you, that you're like, I don't know how it happened. That's okay. Just go with the flow. Just follow the Spirit. You can't dictate the things of God. And just go with the Spirit of God and let God move in power through our lives. As I say, I mentioned right at the beginning how that Ken had set the scene in one sense and confirmed to me what to share with you guys. Ephesians 4, I'm going to quote these three scriptures and finish with this. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. That in reference to your former life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceits. I thought, Ken, we haven't spoken in since Christmas. And I'm like, how does he know what the Lord's been for the last two or three days laying on my heart? And I'm thinking, oh, you know, this is not an easy message to bring. And yet Ken's there writing. I'm thinking, okay, Ken, I hear you, Lord. I guess that's what you want. You're reaffirming this. Romans chapter 6, he wrote, and verse 14. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Sin will not be a master over you. You're going to be a conqueror, and more than a conqueror. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Says this, therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, you are a new creature. Hallelujah. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Hallelujah. You're a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, use me for your praise and for your glory. Use me to bring in the kingdom of God into people's lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.